order for the will of God as he had received it to be implemented in his life. He was absolutely determined. So I guess I want to say to us tonight, while indeed I think the program committee would be a little perturbed with me if I just simply sat down and said, we're going to take the next half an hour and have you write down what you heard, I do want to do this with you. As you listen to this message tonight, I want you to actually take this message and actually begin to kind of formulate it in your mind of, this is the strategy I'll use as I go back home and implement what I've heard, put to practice that which I've heard. The story that I want to share with you tonight comes out of the book of Acts, and it is a story about Paul. I've already told you that Paul is probably my favorite New Testament character, and I just love Paul for a lot of reasons. I think I relate to him for a lot of reasons. But there is this moment in Paul's life. Now, I have to tell you something about Paul as this extraordinarily passionate person. And we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 20 tonight, if you want to flip over there. But in order to get to Acts chapter 20, I have to tell you, kind of just remind you, because I know you know, but I want you to remember the leading up to it. Remember that Paul has already suffered all kinds of trials and tribulations. He's already, you know, experienced being beaten and all of these various things. He's already been beaten and thrown into prison and watched the earthquake as it set him free. He's already experienced when people didn't want to hear the good news preached, and he literally escaped by night out of town so that he would be okay. And I want you to know this too. Sometimes I don't think that we've read Acts 17, 18 closely enough, and we're not going there tonight. I just want to call it to your attention. There is a point there in which Paul becomes so discouraged and so depressed. I really believe this. So discouraged and so depressed that literally he says to God, I'm just going to stop preaching. I'm going to stop teaching. I give up. Every time I do, it's just met with this, you know, force. I don't think we're getting anywhere. And the scripture says in the middle of the night, God spoke to Paul in his discouragement, in his depression, in his frustration, literally spoke to him in the nighttime and said to him, I have people in this city who you do not know. Now get up and go preach. And the scripture says from that point on, and that's along in Acts chapter 18, from that point on, there was like a new life that came flooding into Paul's life and his heart and into his mind. And I want to tell you, you may have reached that place in your life or in your ministry where you just feel like I've tried everything. Nothing is working. Nobody ever listens. I don't know that the kingdom is expanded because of my effort. And you just begin to melt down in this darkness. I want you to know tonight that the voice of God, the Spirit of God, the power of God knows right where you are. And he calls out and says, I have many in this city that you do not know. Now rise up and speak to them. Speak to them. And I'll be with you. I'll go with you. Well, he begins to do that. In that process, we kind of see, you know, and if you've charted Paul, if you're a student of Paul, from that point on, there is almost a flint-like determination in his life. From Acts 18 on, I mean, before that, you get Paul up, down, over, back, and sideways. From 18 on, you get this flint-like Paul who is determined that he is going straight forward. Nothing will deter him. Nothing will stop him. Nothing will keep him from his assignment, from his destination, from his purpose. Talk about amazing, extraordinary passion. He was already there before, but from 18 on, there's a different Paul. That's all I can tell you. And it becomes this extraordinarily passionate, focused Paul that will not be moved. In fact, is in the passage that I'm going to read to you this evening, the scripture tells us that Paul has determined that he is headed to Jerusalem. Now, I want you to know that when he gets to Jerusalem, it's the beginning of the end for him. I mean, things begin to tumble for him, and it won't be long. He'll find himself arrested, and then he's on his way, you know, to Rome. But in Acts chapter 20, he is determined that he is going to Jerusalem, so much so that when he sets sail on the ship, he is off in Troas. And so he's going to set sail, come back across, head down to Jerusalem. And he's so determined to get there that he decides he's not even going to go by Ephesus, which is like the church of his heart. And he says, I'm not coming by. In fact, you go ahead and tell the elders if they want to meet with me, come here. Come and meet me as I'm at the harbor, and I'll meet with them, and I will talk with them there. And it's a powerful conversation that he has with them. I only want to read three verses tonight. Three verses. And I want you to watch this extraordinary passion as Paul begins to do what I ask you to do. He is determined he will find the will of the Spirit and fulfill the will of the Spirit. And so in his conversation with the elders, with the church of his heart, Acts chapter 20, and I'm going to read verses 22 through 24. Acts 20, beginning with verse 22. He is closing out his time with the people who were dear to his heart. And this is what he says to them. And now, I am compelled by the Spirit. I love that word. I am compelled. I can do no other. I can't stop it. I am compelled. The Spirit is like breathing on me. I am compelled, and I am going to Jerusalem. Listen to the next sentence. Not knowing what will happen. I'm compelled by the Spirit. I don't know. I know where I'm going, but I don't know what's going to happen. Hear the rest of this. Verse 23. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit has warned me that prison and hardships are facing me. Wow. How do you get compelled? Yeah, to go. How do you determine? I mean, how do you set your face like flint? I am going to Jerusalem, and all I know is prison and hardships will face me, but I know it's where he's sending me. Wow, we need to talk about that. And then it goes on in verse 24, and he says this. Here it comes. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task that the Lord Jesus has given to me. The task of testifying about the good news of grace about our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. I'm in three verses. I can hardly breathe when I read those three verses. They are so powerful. I want you to think with me tonight. Remember, I'm saying to you, this is the model for what I'm hoping will happen. I hope that what we've talked about here, not that the sermons that I preach are so amazing, you ought to go back home and study them. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is I believe with all of my heart that the Spirit of God has brought to Eastern Tennessee, to these congregations, and to you, not just a camp meeting, because we have one every year. I believe with all of my heart that the Holy Spirit has travailed with Eastern Tennessee and brought forth passages and messages and words that will shape and guide and direct your future. And they're not from me. They're from the Holy Spirit. And the words that we share tonight, I share them with you as a model, as a concept for how you do that. How do you prepare to take this, to take what we've talked about all week and implement it? Well, here they are. There are five markers on this model. Five markers, five identifying markers. If you're going to build out the model that Jesus has for you, if you're going to follow what it is he has for you, there will be five markers in that model. The first one is this: learn to develop a yielded obedience to the Holy Spirit that trumps your will, your emotions, your fears, your desires. Learn to give a yielded obedience to the Holy Spirit that would cause you to say, no, I'm not going by Ephesus. I'd love to stop by Ephesus. I'd love to go see all my friends and family there, but I'm on a mission. I believe God has called me to that. We read a passage of scripture earlier where Jesus had sent out the 72 and he had blessed them and he said, don't stop and talk to anybody on the roadside. Don't do that. Just keep on going. Go where I'm sending you. I want to tell you, when we begin to develop a yielded obedience to the Holy Spirit, an amazing thing, I'm telling you, there's an amazing thing that begins to happen in our lives. And I believe that the Holy Spirit speaks to us a whole lot more than we give credence to. I believe the Holy Spirit is breathing into us, giving us wisdom in the darkness, giving us a word in the nighttime, giving us direction, giving us focus, and we kind of brush it off. We kind of say, well, you know, I know I should go and visit that person. I know I should speak to that person. I know I should slow down and talk to the waitress a little bit. But, you know, I've got a 1 o'clock appointment. I got to be back in the office. You know, I promised I'd pick up the dry cleaning on the way home. And we get so busy and so compelled with the things that we've written into our own script that the Holy Spirit can't even get on our calendar. Can't get on our calendar. Paul said, no, I'm not gonna have any of that. I am absolutely gonna be leaning to the Holy Spirit. In fact, I want to say to us, I've said this week, I want to say it again. We need to learn. We need to practice. I believe that our forefathers in the Church of God did this. I really do. We have got to come back to the place where we are practicing that whole sense of wonder what the Holy Spirit's saying. Lord, here I am this morning. God, what would you have for me today? God, I've got a calendar. I've got a checklist of things, but you can trumpet at any point, and my ear will be inclined to heaven, and my heart will be a yes to you. Now, I want to say a couple of more things about this that I think are very important to us, because I am also very much aware that some of what I've been preaching this week, maybe most of what I've been preaching this week, as with anything that we preach, there's people who come along and distort it. There are people who come along and take my words, your words, when you preach, Brother Pike. They take our words and they flip them upside down and they distort them. I want to be crystal clear in here tonight. I want you to know and understand when I talk about being yielded to the Holy Spirit, being absolutely compelled by the Holy Spirit, I'm going to go and do this way. I want you to know that there are some people who use what I call the God card when they want their own way. And so I know some people who have a tendency, a habit, that they're always hearing from God. They hear from God every 30 seconds. God's telling them this and he's telling them that. And you know, they get into meetings and oh my goodness, here they come. God said, well, once you've played the God card, I have nothing to say. I'm just telling you. If you're going to come into a meeting or come and talk to me and play the God card on me, then we can't have a dialogue. We can't have a conversation. We can't even together explore to determine if it might be the will of God because you already trumped me. You see, one side of the error is that I never hear from the Holy Spirit. I never hear from God. I just kind of stumble along and God loves me, but I'm pretty worthless. I'm pretty useless and he never talks to me. So I'm just a good church person. I just come to church. We never hear from him. That's a lie of the enemy. The other distortion is when I'm walking around trumping you all the time because I'm going to do it my way. And I know people, oh my goodness, I've met people, they're so spiritual you can't touch them. They're so spiritual you can't breathe in the same room with them. They're always hearing from God. God told me this, God told me that. God said to go here, God said to go. God told me to buy Crest toothpaste this month instead of Colgate. Well, I have nothing to say. You know, I'm telling you. Here, listen to me. When I'm talking about being yielded to the Holy Spirit, make no mistake about this. The Holy Spirit does not run around being goofy, crazy, and trumping the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit moves among us and watch. One of the ways I know when it's the Holy Spirit is when what I believe the Holy Spirit is bringing and testifying and telling me, it doesn't trump everybody. It brings unity. It brings unity. And so I can bring something forth. I can put forward an idea. I don't have to call on the Holy Spirit's name. I don't have to be a name dropper. You know, I've been with people who are always dropping names, you know. Well, I was with Billy Graham and I got to introduce, you know, it's like, you know, that's lovely. That's just lovely. We don't have to be name droppers. I don't have to drop the Holy Spirit's name. But in my own mind and in my own heart, when I'm listening to the Holy Spirit, I can speak it forward. I can bring forward what I believe. I can begin to put it on the table. And I have found it true, Sister Phyllis, over and over and over again, that when I'm obedient and yielded to the Holy Spirit, I don't have to trump you with his name. But when I'm yielded, I put it forth and the body says, it's good. It's good. So be careful when you start running around and you think you're the only one who's hearing from the Holy Spirit. I want to say to us tonight, be wary when you're more spiritual than anybody around you. Be cautious when you think you have a monopoly on righteousness, holiness, and godliness. Because my suspicion is, when you begin to get a monopoly on that stuff, that's because you're running in an arena that has nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. I'm just suggesting tonight, when we are yielded to the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit doesn't set me apart in competition with the body, doesn't set me apart in angst with the body. If I am yielded to the Holy Spirit, you may not always like what I have to say, but honestly, if we are governed by the Holy Spirit, then He will witness to you just like He witnesses to me. He'll affirm it to you like He affirms it to me, and I don't have to use His name to trump you. Being yielded to the Holy Spirit, learning to listen to Him, learning to hear from Him. Friends, I want us to know tonight, to understand, we honestly can be directed and guided by the Spirit of a living God, and we don't have to trump each other, and we don't have to defend ourselves. And I should not find myself always feeling like the only one. Do you remember Elijah? God said to Elijah, "Look, Buster, I got 5,000 who haven't bowed their knee. You are not the only one." You can start feeling like Elijah. When you start feeling like we are the only ones who are this holy, I'm just suggesting you may want to move away from that place, because it's probably occupied not by the Holy Spirit, but by some other spirit. And here's what else I know. When you're really yielded to the Holy Spirit, what He's really doing is fulfilling His will and bringing His glory and bringing to pass His purposes. One of the ways that you know that it's the Holy Spirit, test this. If it's the Holy Spirit, then what happens is people are brought closer to Christ, not pushed away. If you're living a life and you're so holy and you're so spiritual that you're actually repelling people, actually pushing them away because your life's so stinking holy, then I'm saying to you, it isn't the Holy Spirit compelling you. Because you see, when I live my life compelled by the Holy Spirit, I get it that there will be people against me. I get it. There will be naysayers. I get it. But listen, here's what ought to happen. The sweet, savory fragrance of Christ should be attracting you. The sweet smell of Christ ought to be attracting you. And I keep saying this, then I'm going to say it over and over and over again. People are so kind and so gracious to say, "Oh, thank you for your message. Your message just really helped." And I appreciate the encouragement. Believe me, I do. I'm as human as anybody, and I get discouraged and I get frustrated and I think my life isn't amounting to anything. But listen, here's how I know I'm operating under the Holy Spirit. It's when you are drawn closer to Him. It's when you begin to say, "You know, God's been really at work in my life." I can't tell you, when people come back to me, and I don't care if they think I preached a good sermon or I didn't, but people will come back and say to me, and I've had this happen, had it happen not too long ago. I was actually, it's bizarre, I was actually in a Lowe's, a Lowe's is a home store, a hardware store. I was actually in Lowe's down in Lake Wales. I'd been down there. I'd been teaching a class, and I came out, and I was supposed to grab some stuff to take home, and I thought, I'll just do it down here. I went into Lowe's, and this was so powerful for me. I had a young man wait on me. I found one of the workers there. You know how hard that is to find a worker in there. Found a worker in there and told this young man what I needed. And I could tell that there was a little awkwardness going on here. And I'm thinking, maybe it's because I'm a woman. Maybe he thinks I don't know what I'm talking about. Maybe he thinks I shouldn't be in the... Finally, he said to me, "Do you know who I am?" I said, "No, I'm sorry, I don't." He began to tell me, he said, "Well, let me tell you." And then he said this, I heard you preach, and it was 5 years ago. He said, I heard you preach in Anderson 5 years ago. And he told me what the message was. And he said, that night, I accepted the call to ministry. I am here at Warner Southern. I'm preparing my life to go into ministry because I heard God call me that night, and I answered the call. Wow. I have to tell you, I kind of floated out of Lowe's. Do you know why? Listen, do you know why? Because I got to be a small part of someone being drawn to Christ, someone being drawn to the mission, someone being drawn to the salvation of others. That's what it's all about. That's when I know I've heard from the Holy Spirit, is when you are moved, not by my words, but you're moved closer to Christ in the way you live, the way you act, the way you breathe, what you do with your life. When you are moved in that way, then I know I've been hearing the Holy Spirit. And friends, I want to say in your life, it's the Holy Spirit in your life when what you do and what you say and what you're involved in doesn't draw attention to you, but draws people to Christ. Draws them to Christ. I'm insignificant. What did Paul say? My life is worthless. It really is. Once you burn us down, what is it? We're 85 cents of chemicals or something? I don't know. Minerals? Okay, that didn't go over so well. It's okay. A yielded obedience to the Holy Spirit. Friends, I have to tell you what keeps you from this, and I don't mean to belay this or delay it or harbor this, but what keeps us from this yielded obedience to Christ is, and I mean this with all my heart, it's that thing in my heart that wants my way. It's, I don't want to give up that grudge. I don't want to give up that temptation. I don't want to give up that piece of pride. I don't want to, whatever it is. And it keeps me. And when I finally break it all and say, whatever you ask, wherever you send me, whatever you take from my hand or put in my hand, it is yielded to you. I will serve you with my last breath if it brings someone to Christ. That's yielded obedience. The second thing that the second marker that I want to lift for you that is on this, and I said it to you this evening, there is an unclear certainty about what the Holy Spirit says to you. Do you remember Paul says, I am compelled to go to Jerusalem. And then he says, I don't know why. I don't know what's laying ahead of me. I'm not sure of all the details. When the Holy Spirit begins to move you, there will be an unclear certainty about the going. What we have fallen into in the church of God and in our personal lives is we want to know before we go. It's not biblical. You don't get to know before you go. Because frankly, if you knew before you went, you'd stay in bed. It'd scare you. So you don't get to know before you go. But there's the Holy Spirit working in your life. There's the Holy Spirit. And he says to you, get out of that relationship. That relationship is not healthy. The Holy Spirit says, I want you to speak to this person. They have a need in their life. The Holy Spirit says, I want you to begin to read this. I want you to get into the Word. I want you to read the book of Romans. The Holy Spirit begins to prompt me and to say to me, I want you to spend more time in prayer. The Holy Spirit begins to prompt, and I'm here to tell you, I don't always know why when I step out. I said to the ministers today, we were sharing a little bit, talking about the scripture and just talking about how to stay passionate in Christ. And one of the things I said to them was, at one point in my life, the Lord had said to me, step out of that which you've always known and step into thin air. Okay? I'm just going to tell you, it was the wrong economic time to do that. I was the wrong age to do that, and I'm the wrong gender to do that. And if you have any question about those three things, come see me. But what I'm saying to you is, I don't always get to know all the details. If I did, they wouldn't call it faith. You see, a yielded obedience doesn't mean I've got all the answers. It means there's an uncertain clarity. I don't know. I don't understand. But I know the Holy Spirit wants me to do this. One of the practices that I believe the Holy Spirit has prompted in my life lately, I've been praying and praying and praying. God, open more doors for me. Open more doors. I don't want to be stuck in churchdom. I want to be out in the world. So one of the practices that he has prompted in my heart was that I would eat lunch at a restaurant by myself, and I've been trying to do this once a month. Just go out and eat lunch once. Now, there is a yielded obedience. I believe he's called me to this. I really do. But there's an unclear certainty. I don't know. He doesn't tell me which restaurant. He doesn't tell me what's going to happen. Doesn't tell me what's going to transpire. But I just have to tell you, as I followed him in that, I cannot even begin to tell you. I listen for the prompting, and I know that I know when I go. And it is an amazing, amazing, amazing thing that is happening when I show up in that restaurant and engage the waiter or the waitress. It's fascinating. Now, I'm going to tell you one more thing before I leave that, because you need to know this. When I do that once a month, he also told me one other thing. If you engage them and you get to speak, sometimes it's very minimal what I get to tell them, but I at least plant a seed. I might say to them, you know, I'll be praying for you. Sometimes I just get to tell them where I'm going to church. But here's what God said to me. And every time you do that, I want you to leave them a $25, $35, $40 tip. Every time you do it, I want you to leave them $25. And I'm like, oh, what? What are you talking about? Listen, here's what God said to me. I mean, because that takes my breath away. I don't know about you. Maybe that's all hunky-dory for you, but that makes me suck air. So when he said... When he said that to me, I'm thinking 250. No. When he said that to me, and I'm saying, God, what in the world? Listen, here's what he said to me. Two things. Number one, Christians are cheap. And waiters and waitresses know they're cheap. I want you to stop that. Okay, but 25, 35? And then he said this to me. And it was like, this was the unclear certainty that became certain. Then he said to me, and when you leave a tip that is abundantly, graciously, amazingly generous, it's locked in their mind. You see, they will remember that conversation, not because of me, but because something happened to them that day that never happens to them. Oh, okay. So God, you provide the source, you provide the resources, and I'll be yielded to your obedience. And I don't always know, I'm not always clear about it, but I'm learning to walk in unclear certainty, and I am watching God time after time after time open up these doors, and it's phenomenal. The third marker that I want to give to you today, and you know this one, but I want to call it forth to you. We've already kind of talked a little bit about it tonight. The third marker is this: the Holy Spirit speaking to you will never ask you to act in any way, go anywhere, or do anything the Word of God disagrees with. The Holy Spirit is not in opposition to the Word of God. He does not ask you to do anything that is not biblically supported. And so if you're out there conducting yourself in some way, involved in some relationship, doing some ministry that you can't point to in the Word of God as a backup, as a support to it, I'm just saying to you, you're not in touch with the Holy Spirit because He doesn't disagree with the Word. So the Holy Spirit, when He's moving me, when He's directing me, when He's guiding me, is always in perfect sync with the Word of God, which says to me this: I must be rich in the Word of God. I've got to be reading the Word. I need to be understanding the Word. I need to be digging into the Word. I need to be listening to good sermons. I have 5 preachers I listen to every week. 5 preachers. Yep, Larry Pike's one of them. 5 preachers I listen to every single week. And man, they bring down, the Word. They bring heaven down into my little radio or into my little, because why? If I'm going to walk in the Spirit and the protection, so to speak, is the Word, I got to be deep in the Word, rich in the Word, thick in the Word. You cannot, I'm going to tell you this, hear me say it. You cannot walk passionately in the Holy Spirit if you're depending on what you get at church to be your knowledge of the Bible. If all you're getting in the Word of God is what you get from a sermon on Sunday, what you get on Wednesday, what you get at camp, if you're trusting that preaching alone, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but if preaching alone is what you're leaning on for you to be able to test the Spirit, you will never be able to walk passionately because you don't know the Word well enough. You've got to be in the Word. You've got to be reading the Word. You've got to be digesting the Word. In fact is, I'll be very frank with you, the Holy Spirit rarely speaks to me outside of the Word. He doesn't sneak up on me and say, hey, let's paint the building white. What? It's usually when I'm reading the Word, my little thing about the going to the restaurant and talking to waiters and waitresses once, that whole little thing, that came out of the Word. When I'm reading the Word and I'm studying the Word and the Holy Spirit began to say to me, do you know what that would look like in your life? You know how I can do that in your life? No, I don't think so. Let me help you think about that. It comes out of the Word. The Holy Spirit is never in disagreement with the Word. And I don't think the Holy Spirit ever creates disunity or disharmony in the body. So if you've got a word from the Spirit that's creating disharmony, back up and pray, because something isn't right. 4th marker that I want to give to you tonight, and it's the one that I read to you when Paul is writing there, and he says to them, I don't really know. I don't know much about what's going to happen. I really don't know a lot of things, but I know this. The Holy Spirit said to me, every city I go to, I can expect prison and hardship. My 4th marker is, if you think living passionately and walking with the Spirit is all sweetness and roses and angels breathing on you, you've been smoking something that you shouldn't have been smoking. Expect trials. Expect tribulations. Expect hardships. You know, when Daniel lived the life that he was supposed to live, when he stood for what it was that he believed he should be standing for, the next motel room he spent the night in was a lion's den. when the three young Hebrews decided they wouldn't bend, they wouldn't bow, and they would not worship the king, the next thing they knew, they were invited to walk into the fire. Walk into the fire. Do you remember when the disciples, had just been part of the feeding of the 5,000? Jesus had, you know, they wanted to leave, remember? They wanted to go, they were tired. Let's just go home. These people are tired. They're hungry. You know, we're not thinking of ourselves. We're just thinking of them. Send them home. And Jesus says, no, you feed them. Okay. And so you know the miracle that transpires. The very next thing, and you can just almost see this happening. The very next thing is, here's all the disciples. They've got their bellies full. Everybody's got their bellies full. This miracle has happened. The disciples were part of it. And they're just kind of wanting now to lean back in the grass and enjoy the glow. Right? And Jesus says, and even Matthew, now usually it's Mark uses the word immediately, but even in the scripture where Matthew tells the story, he says, immediately Jesus said to the disciples, go get in the boat. And don't you know, they're going, no, no, we're good now. We're good, thanks. And Jesus is saying, now, go get in the boat now. And it is the foot of Christ. It is the command of Christ to get in the boat, and it is the foot of Christ that pushes them away from the shore that night. And then he climbs up to the hillside. Why? Because he knew that he had just moved his disciples out into a sea where a storm was brewing. Jesus would do that? Yeah, actually he did. Friends, I'm telling you, when you go from this place and you begin to live this extraordinary passion for Christ, when you go from this place and you begin to seek the Spirit of God, and you lay the notes before you, lay the scriptures before you, lay the words before you and say, God, what are you trying to say to me? What are you trying to teach me? And he gives you a plan. Remember, one of the markers is expect tribulation, prepare for it. Now, why do I tell you that ahead of time? Because if you don't know that ahead of time, the first time you hit the mark, the first time you hit the trial, you hit the temptation, you hit the test, you're going, oh, maybe Jesus didn't want me doing this. Oh, no, maybe I wasn't called. Oh, my, maybe I shouldn't be testifying. And you get all flaky. You need to know. Young person, if you're going to live a passionate life for Christ, write it down. They're not all going to love you. Not everybody's going to applaud you. Pastor, if you're going to live a passionate life and you're going to call your congregation to the next level and the next level and the next level, not everybody in the congregation is going to want to give you a raise. Now remember, and this is where I want to balance it for you. Remember, don't keep acting though like, if I'm getting conflict from people at the church, if I'm running into hardship, if nobody but me and Jesus is walking this road, it must be wonder. That is not what I'm saying. We already covered that. I am saying to you that when you start, don't expect it to all be a bed of roses. Know that you're going to hit some hardships. Know sometimes it's going to be tough and difficult. And that's when we get our act together and we start saying, I heard from a Holy Father. I'm checking back with him. The Word says that I've heard from the Holy Father. The Word says this is what he would have for my life. And when I hit the conflict, I gather people to pray with me. I gather I ask people to be in accountability with me. When you start hitting conflict, when you start getting pushback, please hear me tonight. If you start getting pushback, You should have some accountability people close to you who love you. I'm not suggesting it's people who tell you what you want to know, but accountability people who can speak into your life and can say to you, Brother Pierce, I know it's hard right now, but you know you're headed in the right direction. I know that it's difficult right now. I know you feel like you're standing alone at times. Keep standing, because the Spirit stands with you. You need people like that. If nobody around you confirms what God is doing in you, you might want to take a look. Expect tribulation, expect trials, and make sure you got prayer warriors and accountability people. Let me give you the last marker tonight. The last marker that I have for you tonight is this. Keep pursuing this crystal clear, untainted, laser-like focus. Your purpose in life is to share the good news. It is to share the good news. I'm going to say something right now, and I don't mean to offend anyone, but I do mean to be clear about this. I almost believe that for the last whatever decades, we've been running around giving each other all those gifts, assessments, and you, what's your gift, and what's your gift, and what's your gift. I'm just going to say something to you. I think we've done more damage than good with that stuff. Yes, I do. And here's why. We all ran around and we all took those little, paper pencil assessments, and we all said, oh, well, my gift is hospitality. I'm not very strong in evangelism, but my gift is hospitality. So I'm going to decorate my home, and I'm just going to have people come over all the time. Honey, I'm here to tell you the only reason you have any gift in your life, the only reason you have breath in your life, is so you can be an evangelist for Jesus Christ. And all of the gifts ought to be promoting you telling people about Jesus Christ. And there's nobody sitting in this room tonight who isn't gifted to be an evangelist. Don't even start that with me. There is nobody in this room who can say to me, well, that's not my gift. That's not my personality. No. Everybody in this room, if you know Christ as your Savior, if you have asked the Holy Spirit to come into your life, then what did Acts chapter 1 say and chapter 2 prove? That when the Holy Spirit comes in, He has one purpose, and it is to empower me to be His witness in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. I am called to tell the good news. I am called, not because I'm a preacher, not because I'm a pastor, but because I am a Christian. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, I say to you tonight, we are this close to going out the door for the last time this year. I want to say to you tonight, as clear as I know how to say it, the markers of living a passionate life, the markers of living a passionate life, is that I am yielded to the Holy Spirit, and that I am clear about His calling, even though I don't know all the details. I am rich in the Word, and I am certain beyond doubt that no matter what He calls me to preach in Eastern Tennessee, or to eat at a restaurant in Summerfield, Florida, or to fly on an airplane, which I will do soon, to Kansas, whatever it is He calls me to do, listen, there is a purpose. And did Paul not say that? He says, here it is, verse 24. I'm going to close with this. I consider this. My life is worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task that the Lord Jesus has given to me. What task, you say? The task of testifying the good news of God's amazing grace. Heavenly Father, we've come into this place tonight to share your word, to hear, Father, from your Holy Spirit, to understand even better what to do with the messages we've received, to understand even more perfectly, Father, how to go from this place. Father, if we just simply come into this building and go back out and say, well, that was a pretty good camp meeting this year. Boy, they had good singing. God, we've come to this place and we have been on holy ground. And so, God, tonight, we are praying that the word that is given here, the word that is shared, would literally become markers that would help us to begin to order our life, maybe even correct our life. God, I don't know. It may be that we sit down with these markers and we say, oh, my word, I'm out of line. Oh, my word, I've been trumping everybody with the Holy Spirit guide card. God, we may sit down with these markers and begin to say, oh my goodness, I've been using my gift as an excuse not to share the gospel. God, I don't know, but I know this tonight. I know that you have prepared this word, this message. You prepared it. And you have brought it. And so, Lord, now we just simply yield ourselves to you. The very first marker, we yield ourselves to you. Speak to us tonight, and we will be obedient. Father, whatever you say to us tonight, whatever you would give to us tonight, Father, wherever your Holy Spirit would prompt us tonight, we will be obedient. Because, God, the last thing we want to do is move through this life and miss the goal. Move through this life and embarrass you. And so, God, tonight, touch us, speak to us, stir us, and may the markers of passionate living be evident in all we do and say. In Christ's name. Would you stand with me? These altars are open, and I know you've been using them this week. I encourage you yet tonight. Maybe some of you just want to come, and maybe one of the markers tonight you're willing to say, you know what, I missed that. You know, I'm out of line there. You'd just like to come and bow and pray. Maybe some of you would just like to bring all five markers and lay them down and say, God, help my life over the next 90 days line up with these markers. God, I'm going to make a commitment to you tonight. I'm going to bring these five markers. I'm going to lay them before you. And God, I'm going to commit that in the next 90 days, I'm going to line my life by these five markers. Whatever it is, there may be some of you here tonight who need to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you kind of been playing at the edge, or you kind of been wondering, you've been waiting to see if there was something that was worth your commitment. I'm here to tell you tonight, you will never find another adventure quite like this one. There won't be another adventure with any more adrenaline rush than the one I'm on. I invite you to join me on it. Maybe tonight someone might just need prayer. You might need healing. You might have a wound in your heart or your life. We are here to be the church tonight, to pray, to love you, to love God, to be together. In these next few moments, it's your opportunity to simply allow God to do business with you.
All thy love to me, but I long to say